Hello, and welcome to I'll Bring the Bible with Mel.
And Monica.
And we are here joined today with a special guest. Today is our special podcast about politics. But not really in the way that you think. We're going to be talking about a Christian's view of politics, and I am super duper excited because we actually have a politician, or she doesn't really like to be called a politician, but that is what she is now, who is a Christian, and not only that, she's a woman, and we love that, and we are just super happy to have her here today. Monica, you want to introduce?
Well, today we have my friend Meredith Friedhoff, and I know Meredith because we used to be soccer moms together. Our sons are the same age, and they played on the same soccer team for a little bit. And so what you get to know about a co-soccer mom is you get to know how passionate they are and how passionate they are about their kids. And I just love Meredith. So when we decided to do this on politics, I said, you know what? I think that I've got a girl. And Meredith graciously, as busy as she is, agreed to come and join us today. So, Meredith, would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, my goodness. Everything Monica said is true. We were passionate soccer moms, right, on the soccer field together, cheering on our boys. We probably will never have a team like that again.
No.
We all just loved each other, and the boys were spectacular. But that's how I define myself. I'm a wife and a mom and a business person in the district. My family had their own business for 40 years. And then I had a 13-year business career, and then started raising my children. And throughout that time, another passion of mine was the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, mm-hmm. Because my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 6. And what I have come to learn is that it's an incurable autoimmune disease, and it affects our daily life. And rather than go back to work when he started kindergarten for corporations, I went back to work for nonprofits.
Cool.
So that's what I've been doing the last 10 years. Nonprofits like Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is my favorite. And then there's Out of Darkness, based out of Westerville, that's against human trafficking. They're battling against that. And then Compassion's Way, which deals with hunger, homelessness, affordable housing, and then several others that are waging the war against drug addiction, which is really taking over our city.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Meredith is a busy woman.
So before we get started, we just want to clear the air here. We're not here to talk about Democrats and Republicans. We're here to talk about politics from a Christian perspective. So don't get scared, listeners. We are not going to have any divisive talk here. We're just here talking about being a Christian and facing this world right now as it is today. So first, we're going to do something kind of fun. We're going to do some rapid-fire questions. I've got 20 rapid-fire questions for you.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's going to go pretty quick. All right, Meredith, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. If you could buy any type of food right now, what would you buy?
Cereal.
What color is your toothbrush?
Gold.
If you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
A cat, because they get to sleep all day.
What is one of the things you would put on your bucket list?
Going to Italy.
Who is your favorite superhero and why?
Wonder Woman, of course, because she has an invisible jet.
Who do you admire the most?
Oh, my. I think I admire my husband. He puts up with me.
What is your favorite summer activity?
The pool.
If a movie was made of your life, what genre would it be and who would play you?
Comedy, and probably someone like, you know, Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, yeah. I can totally see that. Okay.
Sure.
If you could be any flavor of ice cream, what ice cream flavor would you be and why?
Pumpkin, because it's spicy.
Mm. Who is your favorite cartoon character?
Oh, I love Mickey Mouse.
If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Italy.
Okay.
Again.
That's right. Ooh. What is your dream job?
Well, to represent District 19, of course.
That is such a good answer. Are you a morning person or a night person?
Morning.
What's your favorite hobby?
I love to read.
What's the one thing that annoys you the most?
People who don't use their turn signal. Use your turn signal. Come on.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Probably that, what's it called, oogly fruit. The one that's all lumpy and bumpy outside. It's really big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about someone in your family?
My favorite thing about my daughter is her curly hair.
Oh, what's one of your weird quirks?
I often fall asleep in my clothes.
My husband does that too. Describe yourself in 3 words.
Caring, committed, and happy.
And last question, if you could trade lives with anyone for a day, who would it be and why?
Press secretary. Oh. Kaylee McNamee.
Yeah.
I would love that job for a day.
Just a day.
Maybe even an hour.
So are you ready to get into our deep questions?
I'm ready. I'll do my best.
You don't understand. Like, I'm so excited about this. I've just always wanted to do something like this with a real live politician, so.
Sorry about your luck, but it's me. I can get you a real one sometime.
What political office are you running for, and why are you passionate about it?
I am running for the Ohio House of Representatives, mm-hmm. District 19, which is Westerville, New Albany, and Gahanna. And I'm super passionate about this because I live here, I work here, I worship here, my kids go to school here. It's very important to me. Being born and raised in Ohio and caring so much about our state, there's no greater honor to me than to give back to the state that raised me up. Now I get to serve back the people that were so good to me. So
awesome.
I know that this is your first time running.
Yes.
Have you found any challenging? Any challenges?
Oh, it's been easy breezy, Monica.
Has there been like one big challenge that comes to the forefront?
Yes, absolutely. As I really wanted to be out in the community, and to go mm-hmm. from March to May and not be able to do that was heartbreaking to me. Mm-hmm. I was the first candidate in Franklin County to get out walking again. Mm-hmm. We started walking the 4th week of May. I really believed that the people needed to hear from us, and they needed to get to know us, and we needed to know what they were experiencing. So I was, you know, respectful, wore my mask, stepped off the porch, and everybody was like, hello, you know.
They're just like looking to see people.
They were so happy to see me. They were so happy to see me. I saw home projects, you know, being done, and got to play kickball with some kids in the street. And it was almost like going back in time mm-hmm. to when you stayed in your neighborhood
yes.
and you made friends, and everybody was so welcoming. And then I got to hear firsthand what they were struggling with. And what a great privilege that was.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, during the pandemic, I was on the Economic Recovery Task Force meetings. So that was a bipartisan group of legislators that mm-hmm. talked to business owners and employees all throughout Ohio. So in real time, in March and April, I got to hear firsthand
oh, wow.
what they were experiencing. And sometimes it was so awful. You just felt so bad for these people. Their whole livelihood
right.
was put in their business, and then it was yeah. just suddenly shut down. So I got to see that side of it, and then I got to see the human side at the doors mm-hmm. where they were like, I want my kids back in school.
Right.
I want to go to my office, mm-hmm. and I don't want to cook another meal.
Yep.
Right.
And it was, yeah, it
Give
was
Give me all the
great.
Uber Eats.
Yes,
right.
yes.
So then, on the other hand, what has been rewarding about running for public office?
What's been really rewarding is to meet with people that tell you about great opportunities,
mm-hmm.
things we haven't done yet in Ohio and things that we could do in Ohio. You know, we have a great school funding issue that's been looming over us since 1997. 82% of the schools in Ohio aren't getting the proper funding,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's one issue that I'll be so excited to work on. Another one is healthcare. My son's type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. And so for 11 years, mm-hmm. I've been dealing with insurance companies, healthcare providers, doctors, and it's excruciatingly difficult and complicated, and there's no price transparency. I've been looking into, there are 18 other states doing it better than we are,
mm-hmm.
so how can we make our healthcare system better and keep the quality and the freedom we have within it? So I think those are the most rewarding things, is when you see the opportunities out there of where we can be better, and that you have a chance to make a difference in those areas is really rewarding.
Meredith, I know that you are a sold-out follower of Jesus. What would you say would be your greatest struggle being a Christian woman involved in politics? Or is there? Maybe there's not a struggle. Maybe I'm just assuming that there is.
Well, I think the greatest struggle is that overcoming the fact that you are a Christian in politics, and it's okay to be interested in politics, because it is okay for Christians to be
mm-hmm.
interested in politics. And I feel that, and my pastor told me this, because of when I got endorsed, I went to him first and I said, is this good or is this God? should Christians be in vocal about this? And this, I don't want this to take time away from him being God or and distracting me with worldly issues, because you have to put that in perspective.
Right.
And he said one of the greatest things, and I carry this with me every day. He said, we've gotten in the situation we're in many ways because Christians have gotten out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten out of government. We've gotten out of schools. We've gotten out of media. Look at all the things we aren't involved in and how they have crumbled. And what if you could go be a light in a dark place?
Yes.
And that really inspired me to, even if, you know, win or lose, I really want to win, but win or lose, if I can be that light in a meeting, if I can be, you know, someone positive for a person to meet at a door, if I can make a difference for anyone I meet during this process, then I'm being the hands and feet of Jesus, so...
And that's what we're called to do regardless.
Right.
I do think that the fact that you sought godly counsel with your pastor is huge.
Yeah.
I think that that's a lesson for us to learn, whether it's politics or not, whether it's just daily life, is that I don't think that we are a culture that seeks godly counsel. And so the fact that you asked your pastor... And for the wisdom, I think that's great.
How does Christianity inform your politics?
It guides everything I do in life. Mm-hmm. Serving others, I think. People are a calling, and we use our gifts accordingly to what God has given all of us. So my faith guides how I treat people, how I talk to people, the issues I care about. And I don't care what, I always say to people at the door, it doesn't matter if you're an R or D, let's look at the P's, the person and the policies.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be angry or upset at the other side just because they vote differently
Are
than
you. Sure? Because that's not what I'm getting on Facebook. I'll tell you that.
You know what I found, too? There have been some people that are very angry at me at the doors and take out the frustrations that they've gotten from a national level. And for me to have grace in that situation is how I can let Christianity influence my politics, by not giving that back.
Right.
By listening and trying to be understanding. Mm-hmm. However, I find that people are much kinder in person than they are online.
Yes.
And I call that being a keyboard warrior.
Yes.
And I wish people would think before they type. Because that's out there. You might be able to take it down, but you can't take that hurt away.
Well, what are people seeing happening over in Washington? That's going on all the time in front of us, all over the media. We're saying nasty things about each other and about the other party. So that's what we're seeing, and I think some of what's being imitated, too.
That's right.
It's okay to call people names because...
And I'm not a name caller.
Mm-hmm.
I will debate your voting record and the truth or the policies, but I'm not going to be a name caller. That's not my place, and it's not good for any of us.
So, Meredith, why do you think Christians should care about politics? Because, honestly, it's been a struggle of mine. I'm definitely not as versed in politics as Mel is, but I am learning the importance of why we should be involved. But I'm interested to hear, why do you think Christians should care?
I do encourage people to take it seriously, because that's a God-given right that we've earned, people have died for. And it's very important when you look at it in that context. And I think what people get afraid of is making politics like a religion.
Right. And we've done that.
And we've done that. And we're looking at government like a religion.
Right.
Replacing a secular world or a leader with God. And anytime you look to a human being as a God, you will be disappointed.
Well, that's what's happening now. You have church congregations that are largely one party or the other, or church congregations where people are leaving because we're so divided. And this actually kind of segues into our next question. Why do you think it's important for Christians to vote?
I think that Christians will vote with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll vote with conviction to biblical principles.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean they'll vote right or left.
Uh-huh.
It just means that they're thinking deeply about the issues affecting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love independent thinkers, and I love deep thinkers that really put the time and effort to get to know the candidates, get to know the policies, and make informed decisions for, you know, I can only focus on the state level. So for my state, that means a lot to me.
One thing that I have learned during this election cycle is that Christians look at each individual issue kind of separately, and they're looking at their particular issue and they're voting for that. And so I've learned that I need to respect their viewpoint and their opinion and know it's different from mine. It doesn't make them any less of a Christian.
Right.
It just means that there are certain things that they're passionate about that they think mm-hmm. another party could propel forward. So.
Right, I agree. I just remember 4 years ago just being prayer, like, what am I going to do? And it just really comes down to being mindful, mm-hmm. being informed, praying, and then having grace for people that choose differently than you, and then having respect for whomever's in office. We want to switch gears just a little bit. Last month on the podcast, we talked about faithful women. I'm interested to hear who your favorite faithful woman in the Bible is.
I like them all, but right now I've really been focusing on Esther.
Mm-hmm.
I just think she is such an inspiration. My mentor in church actually has been talking to me a lot about Esther lately, especially when I'm nervous, uncertain, insecure in this new environment. Mm-hmm. Just how, you know, a woman like her was fearless, and but prayed and fasted, and God gave her the strength to save a whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that story. And it's highlighted here in my Bible because I'm reading it over and over again. But she feared God, not men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing I really learned from her.
Right.
I think that's interesting that you would say that, given also your platform and your passion for sex trafficking, because she did not have a choice.
Right.
In going before the king.
That's right.
And, he didn't court her.
No.
It's not like they were dating. She was called to go in and
prance around.
Uh-huh. Right.
And she could have lost her life.
Right. Yep. When she approached him, wanted to speak to him, people don't realize that he could have very well just had her offed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I love, too, how she waited for God's timing.
Mm-hmm.
So who's an example of a faithful woman in your life right now?
I have so many. I have never been more blessed in all my life to be surrounded by women of faith. And I learned in my 40s to be intentional about that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be intentional about who I surrounded myself with. And I think you can only be better by, you are some of the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed mentors. Women mm-hmm. need mentors. It doesn't matter what age you
right.
are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Amen. Yes.
We need to be there for each other. And
yes.
in this, you know, I've always been a mentor or looking for mentors at church,
mm-hmm.
you know, lifting up younger women or following around the older women that have gotten mm-hmm. it right. So Inez, Tammy, Nicole, they're three women, mm-hmm. Been married for a long time, deep in their faith, look to God first mm-hmm. for everything. I'm really blessed to have them around me. But also, I really want to mentor up women in this position. Like I said, I have Nicole and Inez, and I have Tammy especially, who are very godly women that pray for me and lift me up when I'm tired. And if I can give that back to the generation below me, mm-hmm. then that would be a blessing for me to do that.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Do you have a particular passage of scripture that's speaking to your heart right now during this campaign?
I don't think there are any coincidences. And I woke up this morning wanting to share a scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has been weighing on my heart. And it was James 1, verse 22. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
yes.
I posted about that. And I thought, you know, so much is put on this election
right.
and every 4 years. But for me, you know, every 2 years, there's a local election. It's approximately 700-ish days. You have 700-ish days between elections to put his word into practice,
mm-hmm.
not just during an election
mm-hmm.
season, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So be the light, be good, serve others, speak the truth, defend those that need defending. In all those days that lead up to that,
mm-hmm.
if you have one person, if you, you know, our individual lives can change a community, can change
right.
the state, can change a nation. You know, our individual acts can really make a difference. And that's what that speaks to me. If we all would just, as Christians, we're listening and then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it into practice.
That's the tough part, right?
Is the hardest.
It's not only listening, but actually living it out.
It's the hardest part.
I want everybody else to live it out, but sometimes I
sometimes I don't want to
sometimes
live it out.
I forget to live it out myself.
It's the hardest part. And the verse goes on to talk about how the world is watching the church.
Right.
Right? And if we're fighting amongst ourselves, mm-hmm. like you talked about, mm-hmm. we're not being loving to ourselves. Right. What is the world thinking? We're losing our respect with right. the world because as a whole, we often don't live it out either as a group.
Right.
Meredith, we ask all of our guests this question. What is your favorite way to study the Bible?
Wow. It's going to be, you're not allowed to laugh at me. You can laugh at me. So many years ago at my church, I really wanted to read the Bible in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never been able to do that. And I was setting aside time in the winter mm-hmm. to accomplish this and mm-hmm. really live in it. And another very faithful friend of mine that I didn't bring up, Tracy, was always an inspiration to me. And she said, "Oh, Meredith, you need Bible for blockheads." And I'm like, "What?" Okay, I know I'm not that bright now. But I said, "What is this?" She goes, "Oh my gosh, it is a," and I give this to new Bible studiers.
Uh-huh.
I've passed mm-hmm. on so many of them. Mine is dog-eared and highlighted, but it's an overview of the chapter uh-huh. telling you about the history and mm-hmm. the characters
uh-huh.
and then what to look for in it and what you should get out of it.
Oh, okay.
So it kind mm-hmm. of sets the scene mm-hmm. for, and it's a big book, and it just, and I've given it to my kids, mm-hmm. I gave it to my husband. Yeah, we've all used it at certain times because when you feel like, what am I missing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. So that's how I started. So I always refer people to start with that. And now I find that I have three different Bibles that I refer to. And this one is one of my favorites that my friend got me onto, which is, you know, I love the New Living Testament mm-hmm. version. But then I also have one from seminary that is very serious and mm-hmm. as close to the translation as possible. So I think okay. that's a great way to study the Bible
yep.
too, is
yeah, multiple translations.
Multiple mm-hmm. translations. And I try to stay as close to the original translation as possible because sometimes the word gets lost, and Hebrew is so beautiful and so deep
mm-hmm.
that the closer you could stay to what they originally meant,
yeah.
it's just hits you
right.
Stronger. So I always just say, get multiple. After you've passed the Bible for Blockheads class, which I did.
Which we're in total support of. I mean, we don't think it's funny at all. We've been talking about that on the podcast. Get mm-hmm. yourself a good study Bible. Read about the history before mm-hmm. you study the
historical
chapter.
Perspective uh-huh. is crucial because it's not going to mean something completely different
that right.
it didn't mean to the original mm-hmm. audience.
Right. Yeah. And I love the character part, too, mm-hmm. how they set you up with mm-hmm. these are the people and this is what they did before mm-hmm. you're studying it and reading it and then figure, oh, you know, Luke's
these
a doctor.
Are real,
oh, yeah.
These are real people.
They're right. real people. I love that. And then also, I always tell women, get a women's Bible
mm-hmm.
that have devotionals on the side and places for mm-hmm. notes. And I love my women's Bible. I remember the first time I wrote in it, I was like, oh, I'm writing in a Bible. And now I just can't help but
right.
write in my Bible. So I tell people, don't be afraid to write in your Bible. It's going
right.
to be like memories for you
it's
when
a
you
tool.
Go back.
Right.
It really is.
I want to say thank you again,
You're
Meredith.
Thank you for having me.
Now I feel
me.
Like I can call you Mayor.
Yeah, call me. I answer to that.
Mal, Mon, and Mayor.
Love it.
Thanks, listeners, for hanging in there with us. We know that this isn't a easy topic to talk about. Believe me, we kind of went in pretty nervous going mm-hmm. into this discussion, but we are just thankful to have gotten a politician to speak with us.
mm-hmm.
And
yes.
so...
I'm grateful. I'm the lucky one. And I would love to speak to more people. So if there are any listeners,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
If they could go to my website,
okay,
there's a place to contact mm-hmm. me, and I would love to contact them back. It's MeredithForOhio.com. I want to serve, and that's one by answering questions or being there mm-hmm. if I can help in any way with anything mm-hmm. during
and
this time.
And you also have a podcast, right?
So yes, I do. Okay. There's some podcasts live on there.
Uh-huh.
I love meeting with local people mm-hmm. and hearing the issues and figuring out solutions.
Great. So as we always say, don't take it from us. Read it for yourself in the Word. Any scripture that we have mentioned, any Bible character that we've talked about, go ahead and research it out for yourself and study it out for yourself. And we'd love to hear your feedback. We are on I'll Bring the Bible in on Facebook and on Instagram. And hey, give us a shout out. All right. Have a wonderful day. And thank you for joining us here on I'll Bring the Bible.